There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror movie. For instance, number one, you can never have sex.
Hello.
Welcome, welcome, everybody.
Welcome to Heavyweights of Horror Podcast. This is our first episode. We're super excited to be here.
Let's do it.
I'm the sensei of slashers, Kyle Nolan, and I'm with...
The master of mayhem, Matt.
So we're just two fat guys that love horror movies. We went to school together. I kind of got inspired to do a podcast, a horror movie podcast. I had some inspiration, like Horror Movie Talks, a podcast I used to listen to, and I was actually on the show, and I got to know Bryce, and he helped me through it, and we love it. We want to share it with like-minded freaks like
shout
ourselves.
Shout out.
You know, so tonight we're going to do a night swim. I kind of apologize ahead of time for that. you know, basically I got into horror movies when I was a kid with my grandma. We used to watch them. She introduced me to Halloween first, and then I'm a big Scream guy. And when Scream came out, we'd watch it together all the time. We'd always just rent the movie, have popcorn, do all that. I was 6 years old, though. But, I mean,
you have to have that family time.
Yeah,
right. Definitely that quality time.
My parents probably weren't the greatest for that. I probably fucked up from it for a long time. It's never stopped. My wife loves it. I love it. That's all we watch. So I said, well, might as well do something around that. You know, so we're doing this. It's our first episode. So there's going to be bugs, but it'll be good.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
What about you, Matt?
Yeah, so obviously, Mayhem, Master Mayhem Matt here. I've always been into the weird, the creepy things, you know. I've always kind of a interesting child growing up, you know. Not the best parents as well, you know. Letting me watch whatever I want, however late it was, you know. And now I'm a desensitized adult. Thank you, parents.
You just raw dog in life.
Raw dog in life, the best way to do it, man.
It's all right. We're all a little fucked up in the head.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's why we're doing this.
Some more than others, though.
Yeah.
Not naming names.
The medication, I think, would say the same. So anyways, let's get into the movie. It's a 2024 horror movie centered around a haunted swimming pool. They take a lot of aspects from other movies. Like, I noticed, like, Amityville Horror.
Mm-hmm. Got some of The Grudge in there.
It.
Yeah, definitely.
So they basically took, like, iconic scenes from other movies and smashed it in together around a swimming pool, which, like, I guess could have worked. I don't really think it worked too well. But basically, the synopsis of the film, like, you know, how... I'm going to break it down to you right here. Okay, at some point, you couldn't open YouTube without seeing a preview for this, or go to a movie theater and watch a credit without seeing this.
Yep,
like, the marketing was off the charts. Dude. Like, they did so well marketing, because I thought, like, oh, shit, this is going to be a badass movie, even though it was in January. We know January is a dumping ground for horror movies, right?
Right. Like, what? Yeah. What things like Megan? What else?
Well, Megan was good, and so we saw Six, but I mean, not Saw Six. Scream Six.
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, a lot of things get released in January. Mm-hmm. They bomb.
Yeah.
And, like, I heard someone say it's because it's, like, holidays is the time to put a horror movie out, just because people are together, families, everyone sees shit, you know, and January is everyone's trying to recover from the holidays. But maybe that's just being crazy. This was a bad movie.
Yeah.
We're also going to rate the movies on a scale of 1 to 10 slashes. 1 slash being torturous to get through, awful, can't do it. A 10 being groundbreaking, like the best horror movie they've ever seen. And I don't see very many of them getting a 10 slash.
Not lately.
Yeah,
not
lately. Especially like Blumhouse used to be the king, and now they're really falling on their face lately. So I'm hoping they can get back onto it. But anyways, back to the movie. It starts off with a little girl sees a boat in her pool. And
a little toy boat. Yeah.
And she runs down to get it for her terminally ill brother. And then it really takes off from there, and it jumps into the future. Like 20 years in the past, I think, or something.
Yeah, it's like in 1992.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then fast forward to a family. A superstar baseball player and his family are looking for a house because he got diagnosed with MS.
MS, stage one, yeah.
Yeah, it was progressively getting worse, mm-hmm. and they needed to find a home where he could live in, close to treatment.
Yep.
And, you know, he dreamed of going back to the big leagues, and his wife just wanted to have roots in the community. Right. So they got some houses. And they find one that they really fall in love with, right? and the movie goes on from there. So let's talk about our initial thoughts without spoiling it, and then we'll go into spoilers. So what was your initial thought when you were going into the movie, Matt?
Going into the movie, man, I was super excited. Like you said, it was the trailer before a lot of other films coming out. I would see it in blogs I was reading. People were super excited about it. Man, what, I myself, I hate water, man. I hate water.
It's scary, bro.
I personally don't know how to swim, man. Like,
what? No. Wait. We're gonna have to. You're big, bro. You're like a boulder.
I should float, but no, I freak out, man.
No, we're gonna have to teach you, bro. God dang.
But anyways, I've always hated water, man. So going to this movie, a movie about a scary pool, man. What's more scary than that?
So, the ocean.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, I guess.
But go ahead.
Real life there.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, no, with the opening segment with that little girl out there, man, I had high hopes for this movie. I'm going to be real. High hopes. I felt like the dramaticness in the beginning of it was great. You know, I really had high hopes, even though it was kind of felt like it was low budget a little bit. I had high hopes, you know, but honestly, that wasn't the feeling I had by the end of the film. But I'm sure we will discuss that here in a little bit.
Well, like, me and Matt have been talking about this podcast for a while now.
Yeah.
Been trying to get everything to put together. And so we decided this would be our first movie. I picked them up. We went to the theater. There was like five people max in there besides us.
You sure know how to wine and dine me, Kyle.
I mean, I was even like hitting my vape at one point. Because there was nobody in there.
Yes, man.
So like, I went in. And I don't know. I don't think I was expecting much. But I wasn't expecting to be a bomb. And so, it's a 2024 movie. It was made by Blumhouse. The stars are Kerry Condon and Wyatt Russell. They star as Ray and Eve, the family. So we're going to get to a little bit of spoilers before we rate the movie. So this is your warning.
Warning. Listen here, guys.
If you don't want the movie spoiled, don't listen no more.
Or watch the movie and then come back, pause this, come back, and hear what we got to say about it.
But honestly, like, even if I spoil it, you'll be all right. Yeah, I mean, facts. Be honest with you, you'll be all right. It's not that big of a deal. Okay? So basically, the movie starts off with a little girl, like I told you guys, getting a little boat for her terminally ill brother. She somehow is drawn to the water, and something grabs her. The light starts flashing, and mother knows it's happening, but she don't care, correct? I mean...
Well, we think she doesn't care, but we find out later.
Yeah, yeah. So she dies, right? Just plain and simple. She drowns, but her body disappears. So there's nowhere to be found.
Could you, at the end, you just find her slipper floats to the top of the pole, a little rabbit slipper.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah.
Like that's follow the white rabbit type
deal. Oh, yeah, yeah. Some sort of symbology in there somewhere.
But, yeah. So then it flash forwards to the future. Ray and Eve with their two children are looking for a house. They have MS, and they need a house close to treatment. And he didn't like any of the houses he was looking at. And randomly down one random street, he was drawn to a house with a for sale sign. And he's like, oh my God, stop, stop, stop. So he called a creepy little realtor. The lady's weird, dude. She's kind of creepy, right?
She's like, look at this. Look
yeah,
at
yeah.
This,
look this. I don't know if I really like her character. But anyways, she fails to mention anything wrong with the house, right? And he's drawn to the swimming pool. It's all disgusting and nasty. And he falls in with his cane on the tarp and almost drowns. They pick him out and he falls in love with the house. It's super, super cheap. So it should have been a good giveaway. They move in. Right? And let me know if I'm missing something. I'm pretty sure I got a good grasp on it right now, though.
Yeah, yeah, facts. He fell in the pool and then he had to go to the hospital because it was very concerning why he fell in the pool.
Oh, yeah, because the MS got worse.
Yeah, yeah. They found out at that point that he had stage 2 of MS and it was progressively getting worse.
Yeah.
So she recommended to
start swimming.
And that's what really influenced them to get better. Hey, we should take the house. It has a pool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, that happens, and, you know, they get the pool fixed. It's nasty. They find out it's self-filling from a underground, ancient, like, river or aquifer.
Yeah, they have that pool official
come spring.
Out. Yeah, the spring. Yeah, they had that pool official come out because it was, like, putting out, like, gross.
Yeah, yeah.
Gross, like, water.
And he was supposed to be very funny, but he wasn't very funny.
Yeah, it was really awkward. Like they that was like a pushed character.
It was like an add-on.
Yeah, facts. Like, we need this guy, let's add this extra scene. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh yeah, this pool is filled from an underground spring and it has health benefits and you're really lucky. I've never seen this, blah 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 blah. So they get the pool filled. They're swimming in it. It's cool. I can't remember. It's the wife that has the first experience.
Yeah, the wife. Yeah.
So she's swimming one night, and she's doing like a breaststroke, I think what it was, or something. You know, she looks up, and she sees what she thought was her husband looking down at the pool.
Yeah.
And she did another swim by, saw him again, jumped up, but he wasn't there. And then the lights start flickering. And now the lights flickering is like their biggest scare.
Yeah. They're like, hey, guess what? Something's going to pop out.
Yeah. They use it like along with like, they use it like a suspenseful music.
Yeah.
Suspense, but it doesn't really
foreshadowing.
Yeah. 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 And then the kids, you know, the little girl, well, I guess she's a teenager. She's the oldest sibling.
Yeah. The sister of the brother.
Yeah. Yeah. And she brings over her soon-to-be boyfriend or whatever.
And swim team, yep.
Yep, and then they're playing Marco Polo, and some crazy shit happens where he gets out of the pool, and she gets grabbed and sees something. That's the first time we see
a shitty CGI.
My God.
It looked like a Michelin Man was a burn victim.
Yeah.
It looked like a burnt marshmallow, and it had some sort of face, but I wasn't sure what it was supposed to be, man. Like,
I just don't understand. I think at one point I looked over at Matt, I was like, what the fuck is that?
Maybe it's symbolism, man.
The symbolism being a shitty movie because it's a super bad CGI.
But let's make it look horrible. Let it know whatever is happening here. It's something evil.
Yeah, because people appreciate that, right?
Yeah, facts.
So like,
put something ugly on the screen. Might as well put my ex-wife.
Yeah. It's like they put so much into the budget for the marketing that I forgot about CGI.
Right.
It's like, I'm not a huge fan of CGI to begin with, right? I'd rather have a practical effect. So if you're going to use CGI, at least make it good CGI.
Exactly, man. Mm. Do we even know their budget for this film?
No, I didn't look it up yet. Oh. I forgot. I just didn't care.
Yeah.
No matter what you did, you fucked up. So they all have experiences, and the husband becomes like entranced by the pool. Like he has to be in the pool. He has to be swimming. He can't leave its side, and he's getting healthier and healthier and healthier. Mm-hmm. Where he starts making videos to go back onto a major league team, and his wife doesn't know about it. At one point, he lets a son go swim by himself, and he almost gets snatched up by the creature, whatever it is, spirit. They call it the water spirit.
Yeah.
And so the mom gets more concerned. They throw a huge party, which is probably the worst idea you could do.
Oh, facts. Yeah, right?
We meet the neighbors. Well, Ray, the husband, is playing, what is it, chicken? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, yeah, where the adults hold the kids, and the kids have to fight. They push the kids off of the adults.
Yeah, that used to be child abuse back in the day.
Yeah, I mean.
Child Fight Club.
Yeah, Child Fight Club, now child abuse, you know, different times.
So Ray is stepping backwards, and he gets deeper and deeper to the point where he falls, and the kid's head goes in the water, and he holds them there. Like he's going to kill him.
Something comes out of the water and starts going, it goes into his mouth. Right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's why he does it.
The dark spirit.
Yeah, the dark spirit. Whatever this dark spirit is, it goes into his mouth. It might as well went up his butthole, man.
Yeah.
This movie was that bad. But regardless, it gets into his system, and for some reason, he goes deeper and deeper in the water. He's not letting that kid go. So I think the kid's mom was out in the kitchen.
Well, no, his son was watching from the upstairs.
Oh, yeah, because he was scared of the water at that point because he got attacked by something in there.
His was, so before that happened, the kid was scared of the water because he was swimming in it. And if you guys remember it, where Georgie gets his arm cut, and the new one gets his arm bit off and killed through the gutter.
The drain.
It's the same thing. Same exact scene. He swims up there. Something grabs him with shitty CGI, and literally, they rip that completely off from it. It's an exact copy of the fucking movie,
right?
Yeah,
I definitely felt that anxiety from it in that film just for that, you know? Maybe not as bad, but it definitely, you know where they got that influence from.
It was kind of bullshit. So he was scared of the pool. He ran down to tell his mom, he's dad's killing a dude, right? I don't know if he said those words, but... And then, you know, the dad of the son jumps in, they call the cops, and... Oh, homeboy Ray don't really care.
Yeah, they're trying to say he has MS, he has condition, he has these episodes sometimes.
Yeah.
Don't be mad at him, and pretty much you're like, don't come around my son anymore. Your son's kicked off the baseball team.
Yeah.
Don't come around anymore.
So basically what happens, the realtor finally comes clean a little bit, and of course, Eve Googles, you know, old powerful Google knows all, and about the house, and finds out it's been happening forever. She tracks down the original owner, and she's fucking crazy. She has water fountains around her house and stuff, and she's like, oh, no, my son's, you know, some kind of diplomat. He's great. He's the best.
But he used to be sick, though.
And yeah. And she found out. So Eve finds out from the original owner. She goes possessed. Her eyes turn black. She starts spitting out black shit. The same stuff that went inside of Ray.
Yep, yep.
And finds out it was ancient water spirit. And it will give you your biggest desire.
But you have to sacrifice something you love.
And it chooses. You don't get to choose. So she rushed back. She finds out Ray is possessed, right? And he wants his baseball career back. And then she gets there as the kid is sucked into the pool. And it opens up a portal of lost spirits. And it drags him down. A big, fat CGI guy.
Michelin. Burn, yeah, Michelin, man.
The sister's trying to save him. Can't do it. The mom, Eve, ties herself up with a fucking, a hose. A green hose.
Oh, yeah, to get him out of the water. Because
those pop holes all the time. And jumps in after him and swims down, and grabs him. And a little girl that drowned in the beginning, comes full circle, she shows up.
As a ghost, right? Yep,
and says, oh, you're going the wrong way, pretty much.
Yeah.
Swim the other way.
Yeah.
He gets out, and at this point, Ray's chasing his daughter down. It's a kind of a movie that's all over the place, but it's something we've seen 1,000 times.
Yeah.
And the worst part about it is they stole so much from other movies.
Definitely, man.
I mean, so what was your favorite and least favorite part of the movie? You can remember that.
What was the cat's name in the movie? The one who died in the pool in the very beginning.
Oh, it had a weird name.
It had something like food or something. Cannoli.
Biscuit, no?
It was something. But regardless, the cat's name was really cool, but I forgot what the cat's name is. It's something not relevant to this whole movie, but the cat was honestly the first victim in the movie after the little girl in the very beginning.
Well, then they had a part with the cat that was it wasn't even the cat, it was a shadow. Like, remember the floaties in the pool and he's calling for his cat?
He
just hear it and he sees a shadow. And then instead he gets on the diving board and gets sucked. Like, it's so stupid.
Yeah,
no one's doing all that.
So, honestly, my best, like I said a little bit ago, my favorite was the opening of the movie with that little girl. I felt a lot going into that, man. I felt like, I really felt this was going to be a great movie, you know. But honestly, worst part of the movie has to be the CGI for me, man. Like not only just the CGI, but the story being all over the place. I highly felt like they added a bunch of stuff where it needed to be because they didn't really have much movie to begin with. So,
well, I think it was a basic premise they tried to start with.
Yeah.
And build off of it.
Yeah.
And I guess this is a first time filmmaker, if I remember correctly. And hopefully he's either better or it's his last one. I don't want to wish on anything.
Oh, what other films he did?
I don't think he's done any other film. I think this is actually his first film, if I remember correctly. So Night Swim was directed by Bryce McGuire. But Blumhouse lately has been just putting out trash. And I think what they're doing is a money grab. They're robbing us. They're making these movies look great, right? On marketing.
Yep. Put all the good parts in the trailer, man. You put all the good parts in the trailer, people are like, oh, there's going to be way more. This is just a sample of it.
And they're not investing enough.
Yeah, they're not.
And so it's a money grab. And I'm really hoping Blumhouse goes back the other way. I really have hopes for that. My favorite part of the movie is when the dad sacrifices himself and dies, because I knew it was coming towards the end of the movie.
I feel like that's a total, he played he was kind of the enemy, and then he went to the hero.
He was Ryan Reynolds in Amityville
Horror. Facts, yeah. So his wife was saved, his daughter was saved, and his son was saved, and all he had to do was sacrifice himself.
Which any dad would.
Yeah, I know. So regardless, I feel like he ended as the best character in the movie, honestly.
Yeah, so his character was good, but his the dialogue he used and his acting, which is, he's actually a good actor.
Yeah.
He's Kurt Russell's son.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I learned that fact from somebody. I don't remember what it was. Maybe I'm wrong.
We'll have to fact check us.
Yeah, come check
on.
Me.
But Let us know.
I'm pretty sure, right? So, but his acting was, I think Carrie Condon did a much better job with her character. But I don't think none of them had much to work with. The kids didn't really have that big part of the role in the movie. And I mean,
you had the super emotional teenage girl, you know. They keep changing schools, so they're not able to put themselves in that society as much as they can. They have to go to a different school. You had that little super emotional teenage girl. You know, you remember what it was like to be a teenager, right? Super awkward, trying to fit in.
Yeah.
All that, you know. So she's trying to find out where she fits in, starting to like boys, finds a boy who's cute, joins the swim team just because he said she had good reach. Yeah, that super maybe emotional son who really wants his parents approval. So really wants his parents' approval, but in the day, he's never going to be enough. Does that sound familiar, Kyle? We're not going to talk about her life scene, okay?
No. Well, then, like, you know, she's the, oh, I'm the mean big sister. I'll beat you up and stuff. Okay, listen. There was just so many cliches in this movie that just been played out over and over and over again. I'm tired of it.
Yeah, facts, man. Like, definitely, I do agree. This is definitely a money grab. They wanted to put out a film. They're like, hey, let's pull people into theaters with this great freaking trailer we have. They probably felt it was going to go far, but joke's on them.
Yeah, fell on his face. The best part of the movie, actually, for me, the best hands down part is when it was over. We went outside and they gave somebody a tablet to have me review the movie.
It was someone who worked for Blumhouse.
Yeah, yeah. They came out and said, how do you like the movie? We tell us, be honest. I go, yeah, I'm going to be honest for sure. Trash. And
even he was like, we were like, have you seen it? He's like, no. And we're like, are you thinking about seeing it? He's like, no.
Yeah.
He said it like he was whispering, like he was being watched.
But he also said, like, everyone's had the same reaction as you.
Yeah.
And so I think this movie would be really good for a 13, 14-year-old boy.
Definitely, because
taking a girl out.
They can relate to it. At that point, as a kid, dude, I watched the shit out of this movie. Like I was just about to say that point. If maybe I was, like, 20 years younger, this movie would be fantastic.
Well, date night, you know, where you're not really...
Not really watching the movie, bro. Just be honest.
Yeah, yeah. Or you're not really, like, a hardcore horror fan. Yeah. Like, you know, you're kind of breaking into it as a kid.
Yeah.
That might be one thing, you know. But, like, for real horror fans, this isn't going to be for you.
Not at all.
Do I say you shouldn't watch it if you're bored one night and it's free for streaming?
Free, for sure.
Sure, yeah. Look on Hulu or Netflix. But I'm actually upset that we bought tickets to the movie.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to support shit. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, like, give us our money back.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, we kind of got lucky today. We were going to see Founders Day. But the showing wasn't like super late at night and we all have to work and shit.
It just came out. It has horrible ratings. So they're literally taking all the movies.
There's only one showing today in all the theaters around us.
Yeah, man.
So, I mean.
Should tell you how bad that movie is.
But so what's your 1 out of 10 slashes? What are you giving it?
1 out of 10, man. I'm going to be honest. Like, there were key parts I did enjoy. Like I said, the opening, it brought a lot of like cinematic, like, had me out on my seat a little bit at times. Maybe, like, the jump scares needed it. And, like, the fact that they brought... They were inspired by so many other movies made me think about those movies and made me slightly happy. I'm going to say 4 out of 10. 4 slashes out of 10. I mean, I have seen worse movies. I'm not going to lie.
No, yeah, yeah,
but
sure.
I'm sure we're going to talk about those in future podcasts that come.
I think you're being generous, though.
Really?
How? If I'm to be honest with you.
Okay. I respect that.
I think at best, this movie is, man, it's right between 2 and 3. We're going to do whole numbers.
Okay. So let's say 2.5 for you.
If I can do 2.5, I'll do 2.5.
All right, 2.5. I have 4. What's math? That's like a 3 out of 10. If we're doing like an average.
We can do an average. It'd be like 3.
3, yeah. That seems fair, I think.
It's just so upsetting because like I never watched a short before the movie. So Matt sent me the short that night and said, hey, dude, check out this. And I was way more captivated by
shocked.
The short.
I was shocked.
Good. It was
yes,
good.
Yes.
And there was no dialogue. There was, you know, but it was a good short. And I know Blumhouse has a whole bunch of more movies coming out this year. I think as I can't remember if Imaginary is a Blumhouse movie or not.
I can look it up, actually.
Because that one I think is going to be hit or miss either. Too.
Oh, yeah. I'm actually excited about Imaginary.
But if they go too, like, cartoony with the bear is going to be bad, but I just hope that they can figure it out. I know Matthew Lillard just had dinner with Blumhouse, Jason Blum, the owner of Blumhouse, and he said, hey, I'm coming back to horror movies. I want to work with you. So Matthew Lillard is a charmer, dude. I love Matthew Lillard.
Oh, yeah, Matthew. Oh, yeah, actually, Exorcist Believer is a recent movie.
Have you seen it, though? Because I watched it, and I have strong feelings about it.
I enjoyed it.
You enjoyed it?
I enjoyed it. Those two
female actors. Wait, are you an Exorcist, the original, like,
I like the OG, yeah. I like the original, yeah. But I really feel like the actresses were so amazing in that film.
The acting might have been good, but I just didn't like the overall film, dude. Like, that's another episode, dude, though.
We already know we have an episode right here.
Yeah, that's another episode. So
back to next one.
Yeah, yeah. It's an overall 3.
Yeah, 3. I feel like that's super fair.
2.5 and a 4.
Yeah.
So... Anyways, guys, that's our first episode. You can find us on Facebook at Heavyweights of Horror.
Yeah.
And then we're on TikTok
TikTok, same exact thing.
And we're going to eventually start a Patreon. Once we get everything built up,
yeah,
we're gonna. And you know, this is our first episode, so I'm sure it's the first time I'm editing anything either. So I'm really trying. I'm trying to find out the soundboard and all that. So I'm hoping to get this done tonight.
I feel like we're doing pretty good, man. I have high hopes. For the viewers that we do get for this, I just want to say thank you. You know, if it wasn't for them and the future ones we are going to get, we wouldn't. We're going to look back to this moment and realize, see where we all started. So thank you, yeah. New viewers and viewers to come, man. I'm super excited.
And so look out, you know, we're on Instagram, same name. You can email us at horrorheavyweight@gmail.com for any, like, thing you want us to look at and watch.
Or possible reviews.
Yeah, so reach out to us. You know, try to leave us a review if you can. I appreciate all the 5-star reviews. Follow. We're going to be on all streaming platforms, Spotify, Apple, all of them. Anywhere you can watch the podcast, we'll be there.
Yep.
Our main goal is to bring you guys entertainment, actual reviews from just two regular dudes, and we're going to try to be as consistent as we can with our recordings. So if there's anything we can work on, anything we should watch, anything, just hit us up.
Yeah, hit us up. We really open ears.
And, we really appreciate you guys coming in today. Yeah,
guys, thank you.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
See you in the next week, guys.
Top 10
scary movies.
There are certain rules that one must abide by in order to successfully survive a horror. For instance, you've never had sex.